Good morning. We need to sing that song every Sunday, right before the sermon, right? Yes. We have 35 devices tuning in this morning. Glad that you are with us. For today's sermon, we have, really every sermon, we have an outline on the back of your bulletin. And those are for, you know, anyone to follow along and utilize. I remind you, for children, I reward children with a piece of candy if they'll bring me that outline after services. But I want you to know today, if you don't have a bulletin, I'm telling you, you're going to want a copy of these notes today. I encourage you to go to the foyer and get a bulletin if you don't have one, and take notes on the back. Fill this out, because this morning you're going to walk away with 10 things that are strong with you in Christ. So don't feel bad about getting up. Everyone is excused to get up, anyone, right now, and get a bulletin if you wish. We had a men's retreat last weekend, and we had a great time. And I just want you to know that you, for any who prayed about that, and as a church, you support that in different ways. And so we had a great, great men's retreat, and God really blessed us with that. It was fantastic. We had three of our men presenting. Ron, Steve, and Russell did fantastic jobs talking about their life and things they've had to overcome, and how God did that in their life. And Matt, and the food was amazing. And so I want to give men notice right now. Next year, we're coming for you. We're recruiting you. We're putting you on notice. You have 12 months to prepare. Now, some men are not, able to. We have a men's day that's here local. But for the men that are able to go an hour and a half from here, you know, for about 24 hours, we're coming for you next year. So get ready. I want to give Jim credit, Jim Brewer credit. See, I've done a series, What is Wrong with Me? And today's lesson is part three on that series. But today's title is What is Strong with Me? And I'm not afraid. It's not below me to steal something that's somebody's good idea. And Jim Brewer told me after the last sermon on this series, he said, "Hey, what is strong with me?" And I said, "Yes, I will steal that. I will use that. That's a good one." And so that's what this sermon is about. But we all have insecurities. We all have kryptonite. When you were really young, you didn't care. You know, at a young age, you don't care. You don't, however you're dressed, however your hair looks, you do not care. You're not aware of that. But you get to an age, and as a child, you realize other people look at me, and other people's opinion matters to me. And then you continue to grow and into adolescence. When you're a teenager, you get the teenage mind is a little paranoid. It really is. The teenage mind gets a little obsessive about thinking everyone is judging me and looking at me. And so into adulthood, we're always comparing ourselves with each other. I'm not this, I'm not that. And we all have insecurities. And in the last sermon in this series, I talked a little bit about some of mine, because we compensate. We've learned to compensate for our insecurities. Whatever we don't like about ourselves, whatever we feel is not good enough about ourselves, we learn to compensate. Two of the ways that I've learned to compensate for my insecurities, one is, when I'm nervous, when I don't feel sure of myself, which is quite often, I've learned to just fake it. I just act like I do. And I've learned that works for me, but that's one of mine. So, and then I've learned to use humor. And so those are my two tools to compensate for my feeling insecurity. Now, we all have that. You have different ways that you've dealt with how you feel bad about you. Those are okay, but they're really not the best. And that's what we'll get into today. And so the truth is, when you fail in a major way, you probably have some thought of what is wrong with me. And the truth is, there's a lot wrong with you and there's a lot wrong with me. We're human and we're flawed and we're weak and we're imperfect. There's a lot wrong with us. But the fact is, there are things wrong with all of us. So now we will get into what is strong with me today. We'll talk about 10 different things that are strong with me. Today's lesson is for, these are 10 things for the Christian. If you're in Christ, and not everyone in a group like this is. So if you're not a Christian, if you've never given your life to Christ, you've never repented of your sins, never confessed Jesus as your Lord, you've never put him on in baptism, had your sins washed away. If you've never done that, we want you to do that and be a part of God's kingdom and be in Christ and be able to enjoy the things that I'll talk about today. So, but these are for those who are in Christ. Let's start with Psalm 139:13. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." So the first thing is, through God, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. There's no one else like you. Each of us, I'm confident, have things about us we wish were different, and maybe we've even complained we're different. Maybe we've even kind of whined to ourselves, why couldn't I be more like this? Why couldn't I be more like this person? We're envious of ones who are naturally great at A, B, C, D, or whatever it is. We're always comparing ourselves to each other. And yet the reality is, you are God's greatest creation. What's the greatest thing you've ever created? Think about that for a minute. We're not all creators, so this won't really necessarily resonate with all of us. I'm not a woodworker by any stretch, but a few years ago, I saw online pictures of where people made a kind of a bed swing. They made a swing for out, you know, that you'd hang from a tree, and we had tall trees, and I saw where someone made one out of a shipping crate. You know, crates are left over and you find them anywhere, and they just repurposed a crate and made a swing. So you hang that from your tree, right? And I thought, I'm not a wood, like, David White made this table, by the way. He is gifted. And I could make a table, but it would not look like that one. So, but I saw this crate swing, and I'm thinking, I think I could make that. And so I made a little design, and I decided to surprise Stephanie with it, and I did, and I made it without her knowing, and just me, got all the materials, made it. Then it was so heavy I couldn't get it from where I was hiding it to where I needed it to hang from the tree. Had to have Steve Hess come over and help me. This is back when Steve was strong. He used to be real strong. And so he and I moved that, and about 30 feet tree. Anyway, hung it. I'm proud of that. I made something, you know? God made the universe. And do you understand that scientists study the universe and they cannot figure it out? They can't find the end of it. They can't figure out why it all is like it is. By the way, it's very, very precise for us to even be here. If you start reading on that, there's no end to it. It's fascinating. Scientists are amazed by the universe. The universe was made for God's greatest creation. And they look for other planets. They're like, man, there have to be other inhabitable planets. And if they are, maybe there's life somewhere. I'm telling you, there's not life anywhere but this planet, because God put it here. He made this planet for our home. Earth is incredible, and God made it for you. It's a home. That's what Earth is. It's a home. And God made it for his greatest creation. God's greatest creation is humankind. It's you. You were wonderfully made. You say, but I'm not as tall as I wish I was. I'm not as pretty as I wish I was. I'm not as strong or talented or smart as some other people. Do we hear ourselves? God made us different. Okay, deal with it. We are God's greatest creation. And what he gave you. That's a gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't ask for it. We need to repent of the many times we've complained about the gift God gave us. You ever given someone a gift and then they started complaining about it? You are God's greatest creation. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. All right, number two, Philippians 1:6. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. This is Paul writing. He's writing to the Philippian church. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You are God's workmanship. What does that mean? It means you're his project. You have any projects? I have a lawn project right now. One of the things I enjoy is my lawn. I enjoy working on it. I enjoy mowing. And I like to make it look as good as I can. So it needs a number of things. It's kind of bumpy. It needs some leveling. But I put down pre-emergence to keep the crabgrass away and try to keep it looking better this summer. I put down fertilizer to start to wake it up from a winter's nap. I like it. I want it to be green. I want it to be lush. I enjoy being out there. It's a project. It's my project, but I enjoy it. You are God's project. You say, well, I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not godly enough. I'm not where I need to be. God's working on you. He's not finished with you. He's not going to be finished until Jesus Christ comes back. You are his project. You are a work in progress. And we should be encouraged by that. When we fall short, the devil's the one beating us up about it. God's saying, hey, come over. Let's correct that. Let's fix that. Let's keep working on that. Just like in any project, you make mistakes. What do? You repair it. You fix it. Maybe a step back, but then you take two steps forward. We are God's project. We are a work in progress. I am a work in progress. In 2 Chronicles, this passage is talking about the king of Assyria. And really, the context is similar to, you understand, the Ukrainians and the king of President Putin. Really more of a dictator. Dictator Putin. And that's this passage would be similar to that setting. And it says, with him, with that evil king, is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles. And the people took confidence from the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. I am helped and I am defended. This life is not all up to you. You're not on your own. And the truth is, you're not strong enough. You're not strong enough. You don't have enough money in the bank. You don't have enough good health. You don't have enough resources. You don't have enough support from others. You don't have enough. And one day, God will show you that very clearly. As you age in your life, you know, we find security in all these things. I went to my doctor. He gave me a good report. I feel strong. Okay. You could die tomorrow in a car accident. We're so weak and we rely on God for every breath. We just don't know it. But through God. So I'm saying, in and of yourself, you need to understand how weak you are. But through God and in Christ, look how strong you are. You have Almighty as your helper. He's going to defend you. That's what we need. And our battles, incidentally, our battles, the real ones are the spiritual ones. We struggle with all kinds of earthly things, but our real true battles, they're the spiritual ones. And we're not strong enough. And there's no scripture that says that God won't give you anything more than you can handle. That is not true, and that's not in the Word of God. You need God. That's in the Word of God. You need to lean on God. You need God's strength, and through God you are strong. All right, Hebrews 4:15 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. By the way, what kind of need is this passage talking about? What kind of situation? Is this when we're doing well, when we're strong, when life is good, we can find grace in God and approach God confidently? This passage is talking about failure, sin, failure in sin. This is spiritual failure. This is when you feel crushed, when you've blown it maybe. And you feel like you can't walk the walk, you can't walk with God, you can't live holy, you keep making the same mistakes spiritually. That's what this is talking about. And it says we have a mediator who understands what temptation is like. He was tempted in every way. And he mediates for us, for those in Christ. And what it means, what it's saying is, when you sin, incidentally, when I fall short in ways that really what this passage is talking about, and I feel like a failure spiritually, I have the tendency to turn away from God. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. Why do I want to be around God? He reminds me, that reminds me of how unworthy, I feel unworthy. So I don't feel like pursuing God. But Scripture says that's the very thing you need to do. When you fall and fail and the devil beats you down spiritually, guess where you need to go? You need to go to God. And God welcomes you. When I was a kid growing up, my dad was a preacher. And so there'd be numerous times, I'd be in the preacher's kids are in the, they know, if you want to know what this building is like, just ask a preacher's kid. But I love seeing Zach's kids up here, by the way, Zach and Becca's girls. But I remember as a kid being in the in a church building, dad would be working. I never feared walking in his office. Now, he might be in there on the phone and I need to step out. He might be in there meeting with someone and I need to step out. But I never feared to enter his office. Why? Because I was always welcome there. That was my dad. I was always welcome there. And that's what this scripture is saying. It's not saying you walk into God's throne room with arrogance. No, you do it with humility. But you're always welcome there. In your time of need. And what do you find there? You find grace and you find mercy. And so through God, I'm confident to find mercy and grace. And we need that often, don't we? Often. Joshua 1:9, our scripture reading says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And it reminds us that we are never alone. Through God and in Christ, you are never alone. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is with the Christian wherever they are. God is, Jesus is, and in a, a very real sense, His Spirit is. And that means even when no one else is with you, when no one else understands your pain, no one else understands your struggle. No one understands your battles. No one may understand your hidden, I'll call them demons, in your life that bother you, that hurt you, that hold you back. No one understands you like God does. And we find relationships and we have them here. There are people here that know us pretty well. You share different things with them. You feel close to people here. Incidentally, we sit by them, don't we? Many of you are sitting by someone you feel close to. But no one knows you like God does. And you are never alone. And on your, there will come a day when we all pass from this life. God is with you. And in Christ, you're protected. Philippians 4:12. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. This may be, by the way, this last verse, 13, may be the most misunderstood. It may be the most taken out of context scripture in all the Bible. Have you ever heard that statement? I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can do big things. I can do strong things. I've seen it in sport, in a sports application, right? On shirts, on a ball field. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength to do great things. That's how it's normally thought about. That's not what it's saying. What's the context here? What's Paul writing about here? He's writing about hard times when you don't have enough. You've been brought low. You're hungry. You're in need. He's talking about being content. The secret of contentment is what he's talking about. And so, number six, I can endure all things. It's about endurement. It's about enduring. It's not about sports. There's something very American about raising our children to compete and succeed and excel. You be the best. You ever heard that? There's nothing biblical about that. And I've enjoyed sports. I enjoy playing sports. I enjoy watching sports. I thoroughly enjoy, when my daughter Abby participates in sports. I enjoy that. God doesn't care. I've searched my Bible. I encourage you to search your Bible. I'm not saying sports are bad. It's an earthly thing. There's some value in it. It's okay. It is entertainment. There are lessons that can be learned. Biblically, God doesn't tell us, you go be better than everyone else. The closest thing to that is, slaves, work for your master as if you're working for Christ. You do it to the best you can. And what that means for us is, if you have a job, you work for your employer as if you were working for Christ. Spouses, husband, wife, you serve each other as if you were serving Christ. But there's nothing in Scripture that says, go be the best, and you better be better than every other kid out there, and your team needs to win this trophy. I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm saying we can get them out of proportion. We can put more priority there than we need to. So, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, meaning when I'm down and I'm hurting and I don't have enough, I can be okay because I have God to give me strength. That's what that means. Isn't that good? So 2 Corinthians 12:8, three times, this is Paul. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. By yourself, you are weak. By yourself, you can't protect yourself against all problems. And if you don't believe that, go talk to talk to an older person. You can't say they're old. They're older. Don't insult them. Just go tell them how wise they are, for starters, and say, tell me, has life been easy for you? Has it always been easy for you? Has life always been full of happiness? And an older person in their wisdom will tell you life will bring you to your knees. It will. Sometimes it feels like it will crush you. Why? Because we're not strong enough. God has given us an opportunity to learn to trust him. And this life is a test. And we're supposed to lean on God and turn to God. And that's what this passage is about. Paul prayed just like you and I do. When you're sick, what do you pray? You pray to be well. When you're hurting, you pray to not be hurting. When you feel down, you pray to be up. We all do that. Paul did that. And God said no. God said, in essence, you need to lean on me. People call religion a crutch. Yeah. If a crutch means I need this to lean on to be safe and secure and strong, absolutely God's a crutch. Yeah. Because we need it. Every human does. And by the way, those outside of Christ, they use crutches normally and typically, and often it's substance abuse or other things. Those are crutches. We need strength. And God is the one that brings it. And so the formula looks like this. You alone equals weak. And let me add to that. You, when you feel strong, but you're just you, that's weak. And life will show you that. But you, when you're weak, if you're leaning on God and trusting in God, that's strong. That's the strongest. And so we find strength in God. I am empowered by God. All right, three more. I have to pick up my pace. This one, Psalm 118, it's actually quoted in Hebrews 13, but Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? We sang a song that talked about nothing can pluck me out of God's hand. Nothing. And the truth is, if you're in Christ, if you're a faithful Christian, nothing can take that from you. You may have lost things in this life. You may feel robbed because things didn't turn out the way you wanted them. Things failed in your life in different ways. And you may say, hey, this isn't how I dreamed it. That's okay. God didn't give us this life to be a fairy tale. But when things are taken from us or they don't work out, the most important thing cannot be taken from you. The most important thing. And that's your soul, that's your salvation. No one can harm your spirit. No one can harm your soul. They can harm every other part of you. They can harm you physically, emotionally, mentally, but they cannot harm what really matters, your eternal soul. It's safe in Jesus. And so this point is, I am fearless. Man can harm me temporarily, cannot touch me eternally. That's safe with God. And so through God, I can be fearless. I can fear nothing. All right, 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And Revelation 2:10 says that reminds us if we are faithful to the end. So this passage is about having confidence in salvation. And of course, that rests on us being faithful to the end. We have to do that. But no one can take it from us. No one can take your salvation from you. So if you're in Christ, you have eternal life. That is with you. That's something you're holding and carrying. You can walk away from it, but no one can take it from you. And that's what really matters. I have eternal life. And then lastly, one more, if we read further in this passage, verse 14, this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of him. This is a good one. It means we are heard by God. It means if you need help, God will give it. Ask him. If you need strength, God will give it. Ask him. If you need comfort, if you need humility, if you need wisdom, ask God. He will give it. If you need a new Ferrari or you need, something materialistic or you need perfect health, You think you need things that you really don't need. If you pray for something outside of God's will, you're not going to get it. But when we're praying inside God's will, not only does he hear us, but he grants it. The Almighty. Through God, I am heard. And that's a powerful thing. I was coming up here to the building a couple months ago. It was cold. It was windy. Driving up here, and I see a man broke down across from Cecil's, so just over here on Highway 97, in the median, in the middle of this highway. He's got his car there. It's kind of muddy, and he's broke down. He has a wheel off, and he's messing with his wheel. He's not really dressed to be. It is windy. It's cold. And so I pass by, and I'm thinking about him. And so my first thought is, man, that guy needs, he's in a dangerous spot for one. He's just off the road, but he's on the left side, not the right side. And my second thought was, I think I need to take someone with me and enjoy this time of helping a stranger out. And so I come up here and I get Zach. I say, Zach, come with me. Anyway, I could tell you more about this story. I was the only one really had the big, poofy coat and gloves, and poor Zach wasn't ready for all that. But he's tough. He likes it cold. So we go over there and we're talking to him. And long story short, he was very knowledgeable and capable. He had an issue with his wheel, not just a tire, but then brakes. I don't know what all he's working on, but he knew what he was doing. And so he's doing it. And the whole time we're there, of course, we're cold, but he was colder than we were. He just didn't act like it. But as we're there, my mind was continually focused on cars coming up because it was starting to sleet, and it was at some point going to get slick. The whole time I'm watching cars. I don't know what we'd have done, but I'm watching for them to slide off our direction and kill us all. But I don't know how I could have helped that. But that's what I was worried about. And I just tell that story to say, to give you an illustration of this lesson. When you're traveling on foot, you're vulnerable. If you're going somewhere on foot, you're vulnerable. You have to do it sometimes, but when you're walking somewhere, you're at the mercy of the elements. How far are you going, and what vehicles are around you that could be dangerous? But contrast that with when you're driving your car or your truck. When you're in a vehicle, don't you feel strong? In fact, one of my issues that God's working on me, because I'm a project. One of my issues is I get a little too defensive sometimes when I'm in my car, because when I'm in my car, I feel almost invincible. And the point is, when you're in Christ, because of what all God does for you, you are strong. You're strong. You're capable because God is making you capable. And I leave you with this image. Imagine everywhere you go, imagine that you have the Holy Spirit standing next to you, and you have Jesus Christ walking on the other side of you, and you have God Almighty walking before you. You imagine them as people. Everywhere you go, you have those three with you. If you had one day, and everywhere you went, you had those three, and let's say you could see them, but no one else could, how would you feel that day? I mean, you've got your entourage, God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. How strong do you feel? And that's what we have. That's what we have. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And it may be that you are having a difficult time right now. You need prayers. It may be that hearing about all this, maybe you're not in Christ yet. Maybe you've never taken that step. Maybe you thought I believe in God and Christ, and I thought that's enough, but I've never given my life to Christ, never turned from sin, never confessed Him, never had my sins washed away in baptism. We can help you with that today. Let us do that today. Get into Christ. Let us help you while we stand and sing.